Okay, so have you heard about this case, Robles v. Domino's?
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of wild, right? Like how a pizza order ends up setting this huge precedent for website accessibility.
It really is. It makes you think about how the internet is basically a public space now and what that means for businesses.
Exactly. And we've got like all the court documents and legal analyses here ready to like really deep dive into how this whole thing went down.
I think what's so interesting here is how this case really forces us to look at a law
Yeah.
that was written way before the internet was even a thing,
Totally.
the
The
ADA.
ADA right back in 1990.
Right.
Like no one was picturing websites or ordering pizza online.
Exactly. So we've got Guillermo Robles. He's a blind man who uses screen reading software,
Okay.
and he's just trying to order a pizza from Domino's, like
Pretty normal thing these days.
super common, right? But the website's not working for him.
Oh no.
He can't customize his order. He can't check out. Talk about a pizza craving gone wrong.
Seriously. And it wasn't just like a one-time glitch either, right?
No, he tried multiple times on the website, on their app. Same accessibility barriers every time. So he decides, okay, I'm going to take action.
Yeah.
This is a violation of the ADA. He argued specifically Title III.
Right, Title 3, which, if anyone needs a refresher, is the part that says you can't discriminate against someone with a disability in a place of public accommodation.
Like a store or a restaurant.
Right. But is a website a place? That's the whole question here.
That's where things get really interesting.
Yeah.
Domino's basically argued that the ADA didn't apply to websites, period.
Like it's from a different era.
Their argument was, look, this law is from before the internet.
Right.
How could it possibly cover something that didn't even exist back then?
Makes sense on the surface.
And they also claimed a lack of due process.
Due process meaning?
They said the DOJ, the Department of Justice, hadn't given them specific guidelines for website accessibility.
So basically, they're saying, hey, no one told us the rules of the game. But the Ninth Circuit Court didn't really buy that, did they?
No, they didn't. They really focused on the ADA's principle of effective communication. They
Okay.
said, look, in today's world, so much happens online. Commerce interaction websites are the gateway to all that.
Yeah.
If you can't access the website, you can't access the business.
That's like the front door is locked.
Exactly. And especially in this case where you're ordering online,
Yeah.
but picking up at a physical Domino's location.
So it's like both digital and physical space are involved.
Exactly. The line's blurred. And to bolster their argument, the Ninth Circuit pointed to existing web accessibility standards like WCAG.
WCAG. Okay, so we're gonna be hearing that a lot, I think. Can you give us like the quick rundown what that is?
Sure. WCAG stands for Web Content Accessibility Guidelines.
Okay.
It's basically a set of best practices for making websites accessible to people with disabilities.
So it existed before this case.
And it was well known and accepted.
So the court's saying even if it wasn't the law, you should have known about this.
Ignorance isn't an excuse, basically.
That's a big deal for businesses, right?
Huge.
It's like setting a precedent that you got to stay informed. Even if it's not explicitly written in the law.
Now, before we go too far into the implications,
Okay.
we got to rewind a bit because this actually started in a lower court.
Oh, right. Didn't the district court side with Domino's at first?
They did, and they used this interesting legal tool
Okay.
called the primary jurisdiction doctrine.
All right, break that down for us non-legal folks.
Basically, it means a court can say, you know what,
Yeah.
this issue is better handled by a specific agency. In this case, they said website accessibility, that's complex. The
Yeah.
DOJ should be figuring this out, not us.
Passing the buck a little bit.
So the district court said, not our job to decide how the ADA applies to websites.
Got it. But then Robles appeals, right?
And the Ninth Circuit overrules that decision.
Bold move.
They pointed out that the DOJ had like a decade
Oh,
to
wow.
give clear guidelines, and they didn't.
So the Ninth Circuit said, time's up. We're stepping in.
And they used WCAG as a reasonable benchmark,
Interesting.
basically saying courts can enforce the ADA online.
That's a big takeaway.
Huge.
So they're saying the ADA applies to websites.
And courts can use these standards like WCAG to
Wow.
decide what's accessible.
But Domino's appealed to the Supreme Court,
It
right?
took it all the way to the top.
So what did SCOTUS say about all this?
Well, this is where it gets even more interesting.
Okay.
They denied certiorari. Meaning they declined to hear the case.
Oh, wow. So they didn't overturn the Ninth Circuit.
No.
But they didn't explicitly endorse it either.
Right.
This must have been like a bombshell for businesses.
Absolutely, because it basically made the Ninth Circuit's ruling the law of the land in their jurisdiction.
Okay.
The WCAG wasn't legally required everywhere.
Uh-huh.
But it became the de facto standard.
The standard that courts were using.
Exactly.
So what happened after that? Did businesses scramble to make their websites accessible?
Oh, yeah. Big time. Yeah. This case led to a surge in ADA lawsuits.
Really?
Suddenly, businesses were facing legal action for something they might not have even known about before.
So Robles v. Domino's really changed the game.
Absolutely, it did.
But for a business owner listening to this, it's like, where do you even start? The ADA is old. Technology is always changing.
That's the million-dollar question. Yeah. And that's exactly what we're going to dive into next.
Go ahead.
We'll talk about the practical implications of this case.
Yeah.
What businesses need to know and how this is shaping the future of the internet.
Sounds good. Can't wait.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like we were saying, Robles v. Domino's really kind of threw a wrench in things.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Businesses suddenly had to take website accessibility seriously.
It wasn't just like a best practice anymore.
Right. It had legal teeth now.
Sure. And that's where those WK guidelines come in, right?
Exactly. They became like the rule book for accessible web design.
But for someone who's not a web developer like myself,
sure.
What does WK actually mean, like in real life?
Okay. So imagine you're building a website.
Okay.
WK would say things like, make sure all your images have alt text.
Alt text.
So screen readers can describe them to people who can't see them.
God, that makes sense.
Or use enough color contrast so people with low vision can actually read the text.
Okay. Yeah, that's important.
Or structure your content logically.
Okay.
So you can navigate with a keyboard instead of a mouse.
So it's about having options, right?
Exactly. Giving users different ways to interact with your site.
Makes it more inclusive for everyone.
That's the goal. And that's why it's not just about ticking boxes on a checklist.
Yeah.
It's about thinking about accessibility from the start.
Like baking it into the design.
Right. And that was a big shift for a lot of businesses.
Before Robles v. Domino's, it was kind of like an afterthought.
Yeah, if they thought about it at all.
Which is probably why there were so many lawsuits after the ruling.
Exactly. Businesses were caught off guard.
So if you're listening to this and you're like freaking out.
Yeah.
What's the takeaway? Should I just hire an accessibility consultant like right now?
Well, getting expert help is definitely a good idea.
Okay.
But the real lesson is to make accessibility a priority from day one.
Got it.
Think about it. If you were building a physical store, you wouldn't forget about wheelchair ramps.
Of course not.
Or accessible restrooms.
Right.
It's the same thing online.
Build it in from the foundation.
Exactly. And it's not just about avoiding lawsuits.
Right. It's the right thing to do.
Yeah. You want to reach all your customers.
Makes sense.
Create a more inclusive online world.
And everyone benefits from that.
Yeah.
Right. It's not just people with disabilities.
Absolutely. Think about captions on videos.
Okay. Yeah.
Essential for people who are deaf or hard of hearing.
Right.
But also great if you're in a noisy environment.
We're learning a new language even.
Exactly. So these accessibility features have a ripple effect.
Like universal design.
Yes, exactly.
Making things better for everyone.
And here's another thing. Technology's always changing.
Right. So this isn't a one-time fix.
No, it's an ongoing process.
You got to keep up.
Think about all the new stuff coming out. VR, AR, the metaverse.
Whoa, yeah.
All these new accessibility challenges.
How we handle those is going to shape the future of the internet.
Exactly. Who has access to it? How inclusive it is?
It's almost like the internet itself is on trial.
Yeah, constantly being evaluated for how accessible it really is.
Wow, that's a powerful way to put it.
And what's fascinating is we're figuring this out in real time.
Yeah, it's all happening so fast.
The law is playing catch up with technology and technology is just pushing boundaries.
It's exciting, but also kind of scary.
For sure. It's this dance between innovation and inclusion.
So where does that leave us? What are the next steps? Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here, the legal stuff, the impact on businesses, this whole idea of the internet as a public space.
Yeah.
But let's get practical here. You're listening to this thinking, okay, I get it, accessibility is important, but where do I even start?
Right. I think a lot of businesses feel that way. At first, it can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
But the good news is there are a ton of resources to help you, and a great place to start is with those WCAG guidelines.
We keep coming back to WCAG. I get that they're important, but if I'm being honest, they kind of seem a little intimidating. Like, where do you even begin to unpack all that?
Yeah, they can seem a little daunting at first glance. I get it.
Yeah.
But they're actually pretty well organized once you dig in. And remember, WCAG stands for Web Content Accessibility Guidelines. Think of them like a blueprint for building websites that anyone can use.
Got it. So like a set of instructions for an inclusive website.
Exactly. And there are different levels of conformance within WCAG.
Levels meaning?
Like a grading system.
Right.
The current version, WCAG 2.1, has levels A, AAA, and AAA. Mm-hmm. A is the most basic level of accessibility. AAA is the most strict. Most courts are looking for at least AA compliance.
So you don't have to go for a perfect score right away?
Not necessarily. You can start with the fundamentals, get those solid, and then keep improving over time.
Okay, that makes sense. It's a journey, not a sprint.
Exactly.
So besides WCAG itself, are there other resources out there that businesses can use?
Oh yeah, for sure. The W3C, the organization behind WCAG, has a ton of helpful info on their website.
Yeah.
There are also accessibility consultants you can hire.
Okay.
They can audit your website, give you specific recommendations.
It's like a whole industry has popped up around this.
It really has, which just shows you how important this issue has become.
Yeah.
But beyond the technical stuff, I think there's a bigger mindset shift that needs to happen.
What do you mean?
Accessibility can't just be a box you check on a list.
Right.
It has to be a core value, something that's built into your company's DNA.
I like that.
It's about truly wanting to create an inclusive experience for everyone.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. It's about going beyond just meeting the bare minimum.
Exactly. And the great thing is when you design for accessibility, everybody wins.
Right. Like we were talking about captions before.
Exactly.
They help everyone, not just people with disabilities.
And clear language, intuitive navigation, those benefit everyone.
It's about recognizing that people have different needs, different abilities.
Yeah, and designing for that diversity makes things better for everyone.
Totally. And that brings us back to that idea of the internet as a public space.
Right.
If we want it to be this force for good,
mm-hmm.
a place where everyone can connect,
yeah.
accessibility has to be a priority.
It's like that saying, a rising tide lifts all boats.
I love that.
When we make the internet more accessible, we make it better for everyone.
Absolutely. And I think Rollis v. Domino's really brought this whole issue to light.
It did. It forced everyone to start thinking differently about the internet.
And who has the right to use it?
Exactly.
It's a conversation we need to keep having. And I think this deep dive has given our listeners a lot to think about.
I agree, both the legal side of things and the bigger picture.
Yeah.
If there's one thing I hope people take away from this, it's that accessibility is about people.
Yeah.
It's about making sure everyone has equal access to information, to opportunity, to everything the internet has to offer.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And on that note, I want to thank you, our listeners, for joining us on this deep dive into Rollis v. Domino's and this ongoing push for digital equity. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep fighting for a more inclusive online world.